Kate Photographer. Welcome to the Book More Clients Photography Podcast. Do you want to learn how to market your business and have consistent bookings? Do you search for how to get your name out there and attract quality clients? Do you feel lonely and frustrated when you scroll through social media and comparison takes over again? Hey, I'm Brooke Jefferson. I too was trying to build my photography business while working a full-time job and trying to be an intentional wife and mama of two. I wanted to feel confident in my work, have a fully booked calendar, and grow my photography business from part-time to full-time so I could leave my teaching job and have more freedom with my family. But I believed that I wasn't good enough and couldn't do it in the mama cracks of my day, which kept me stuck for far too long. I finally decided to take matters into my own hands by getting out of my own way, investing in mentors, and not being afraid to fail forward. You don't have to stay stuck trying to figure it all out. I teach you how to build a profitable photography business through business tips, marketing strategies, and mindset tools. Charge your camera batteries and grab your coffee. It's time to ditch the excuses and book more clients. Today, we are jamming out about Pinterest. It's been a top requested topic from you guys, so I thought I would bring an expert on to share some strategies with you so you can utilize Pinterest for your photography business. Jen Vasquez is a Pinterest marketing strategist that helps photographers, wedding pros, and service-based entrepreneurs go from overwhelmed to an easy, streamlined Pinterest strategy. She is also the host of the Marketing Strategy Academy podcast. Jen, welcome to the show.
Yay! So happy to be here. Any day that I get to talk about Pinterest is a good day.
Yes, we were jamming a little bit about Pinterest before we hit record. So before we get to the actual strategy and the tips that you have for my audience today, can you tell us your background with photography and then how you got into Pinterest marketing?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it probably sounds like everyone else, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I had my son in 1988. So I'm also a grandma right now with these four kids, but in 1998. And so I started photographing then. I did photography in high school, all the things that you hear from photographers, but I was obsessed with documenting my kids and my family. And then over the years, friends, family and family friends were like having me do shoots. And then I kind of turned it into a business. But I was in corporate America until 2009. And I was in a marketing position and I was training people and I was working 50, 60 hours a week. And I was leaving the house before my kids got up and I was coming home like after they already went to bed. And I was like, this is not why I had kids. This is not what I'm going to do. And I got a wild hair and I just gave notice. I was like, what? I gave notice and I literally launched my wedding photography business in 2009. And in 2009, Pinterest was sort of beta testing Pinterest. And it was by invitation only, kind of like Clubhouse. It was very culty. It was very exciting. And I knew marketing. And so I knew that it was such a cool thing that I was going to start using that to grow my business. And I have done sort of all kinds of wedding photography, family photography, portraits, branding, you name it. But back then I was really focusing on weddings and I used it literally to grow my wedding business. And then when I was helping all of my wedding vendor friends and photography friends on how to use it as well, they kept telling me, hey, why don't you start a business? And I was like, we're not getting back to the same thing where I'm like not being with my family anymore. So when my son was a senior in high school in 2018, my youngest, I launched my Pinterest business and I have not looked back. And I still do both to this day. But my primary photography at this point is branding.
Wow, I love your story. So many cool twists and turns, which is always my favorite. It truly is my favorite thing to listen to because it's never us, a business owner, telling us from point A to point B. Like, it's never that. It is literally that entrepreneur roller coaster map that you see floating around on social media. That really is entrepreneurship and how we eventually get to where we are. So I love your story. One of the things too that just kind of really just sat with me was we as moms and as female business owners, we get to a place where we start realizing that the way that the US has really structured their workforce is truly not the way that that our lives were designed to be in the first place. And I am very open about like being faith driven. And even back in the Bible, like that is not how things were set up. That is not how we were designed to be. And so I love that you talk about how you kind of like realize this ain't it. Like, this is not for me. And how many of us can relate to like, that's truly why we get in our businesses that we're doing. And that truly is the force behind it. And so I love, love, love that you said that. Had to put a little heart in there before we got to.
I swear. I feel like so many women in particular start businesses or even side hustles that they want to grow into a business to be able to spend more time with their kids. But if we don't like have that be a total central focus, the business can get away from us just like working for someone else can get away from us. So I think that's a great point.
Speaking from experience, and that is why, you know, that's the thing though, because whenever I was teaching and trying to like work a full-time photography business and be a mom and a wife and, you know, you name it, just all the things, it's overwhelming. But even leaving my teaching job and doing this full time, it's still overwhelming because I made my business an all-consuming thing and it doesn't have to be that way. So all of that to say, this truly is why the podcast exists. And I know yours too, because we want to give entrepreneurs, photographers, right? We want to equip them with marketing strategies so that it doesn't have to be all consuming, because we all want what? More time.
I know. And I will tell you, and I'm sure you'll probably see by the time we're done here today, but Pinterest is the lowest energy level and giving back with the time that you put into it than any other social media platform, period.
Yes. Okay. So let's dig into that though. I do want to dig into some of like, what are the reasons we should even consider Pinterest anyway? Because I think at this point, every photographer has heard you should use Pinterest, but I don't know that they realize like what is truly the power and potential. And there's something you told me before we hit record, and I know it's very hard to brag about our own selves, but I really want you to tell us why, like what makes you a Pinterest expert? Tell us a little bit about what's the credibility you have so that people will listen. And it's not like, oh, Pinterest is fun and I'm just going to tell you how to use it, right?
I'm just going to listen to this random girl and do what she says. Yeah, no. I've been using Pinterest consistently to grow my business, not just to play on there, not just put pretty pictures on there, but to actually grow my business. And when I look at, for me personally, when I look at all the social media platforms, because of course I check my analytics as we all should, Pinterest consistently gives me the most traffic to my website and I spend the least amount of time doing it. Like I spend the majority of my time on Instagram as most of us do, and it's not giving me the return that Pinterest is. I do believe you have to have a presence there because part of that Pinterest client journey is they go from the pin to your website, and they will also go to Instagram and stalk you a little bit to make sure that you know what you're talking about. So, and then for the end of last year, Pinterest hand selected me to help in their Pinterest business community as a Pinterest expert. And so I'm a Pinterest pioneer also, which is exciting. And Tailwind has been working with me to help educate their group. So last week I just did free Pinterest audits for their education as well. Tailwind is a third-party platform that helps you to pin, and it saves hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of time. So just as a heads up.
And this right here is why I am very selective about who comes on the show to talk about what. Like I get pitched probably every single day in my inbox, as I'm sure you do too. But it's, I'm selective, not because other people aren't good enough, but because I really want you to hear from people that have the credibility, that don't just talk the talk, but have also either been, you know, credited in that area or have the proof or whatever the case may be. So I feel it's important. I know it's weird to say things like that about ourselves, but I thought it was important to bring that up again, because you're not just some rando off the street that I asked to come in here and talk about Pinterest. So now that we know you are credible, why should we pay attention to Pinterest?
I mean, there's a bunch of reasons, but I want to just throw out a little stats because I think this really kind of tells the picture. Not only, like I said, does Pinterest drive the most traffic for me, and I'm on every social media platform as a heads up, but 445 million people use Pinterest each month. That's not just a one-time thing. That's people that consistently go on there. And I know most of you have gone on there to look at some inspiration photos, or to get a recipe, things like that, right? Well, everybody's on there all the time. It was the fastest site to reach 10 million unique monthly visitors. It ranks 14th among the domains with the most links to websites. So even before Instagram came out with a cute little link on their Instagram story, it was really only assigned to a few people with a ton of followers. And it's the fourth most popular social media site in the US. And it's the biggest user base is in the US. And for me in particular, when it comes to Pinterest, it is a search engine versus a social media platform. Even though they categorize it as social media on the back end of Google, it's actually a search engine. So it's like Google, it's like your blog, and it's like YouTube, all of which are super highly searchable, and people actually take action on Pinterest. Plus, I have to say, 80% of pinners have said it is the most positive corner of the internet. And I don't know about you, but Instagram can kind of be a little bullying sometimes, or makes you feel a little bit sort of less than. I personally have looked at photographers and go, oh my gosh, their photos are so great, right? When I should be focusing on me and my work and helping others. So those are just a few little things. Oh, one other thing. I'm sorry. I have done a ton of research. I just put out a new graphic. I do one every year from research from all of the research sites. And this is the lifespan of a pin. So if we're looking at the lifespan of posts out there on social media, Facebook is about 1.7 hours. That's sort of the lifespan of that post. Instagram is about 20 hours, give or take. If something goes viral, that's outside of those parameters. LinkedIn is about 24 hours. YouTube is 8 days. And Pinterest is 3.8 months. And I always like to share that blogs are about 2 years. And I will say that me personally, I have had pins that are on the top of my searches for all of my pins consistently from like 6 years ago, which, as you can imagine, is quite embarrassing when you're a photographer because I'm much better than I was 6 years ago. But just that one pin I took some time to pin 6 years ago is still driving traffic, and I'm still booking clients because of it.
Amazing. I mean, all the stats, just it's basically like just pick one and walk away with the amazement from it. I truly do understand the power of Pinterest. And like I said, I'm sure at this point, every photographer has heard how important it is to put your work out there. I think it can be overwhelming at first for another platform. Are you kidding me? Is probably what a lot of people think. And the other thing too, though, the mistake I see, and I talk about this all the time, is of all the ways to market yourself, people seem to put way too much energy, time, and effort into the least amount of life-giving content. So people think, I can run my whole business on Instagram or Facebook, and that is going to drive all my clients. That used to work a long time ago when I first started my business. I'm going to tell you, things have changed so much. Like, that's it's not even a correct marketing strategy. Okay. Correct. So what I like to think of it as, you know, like your cupcake. So now social media used to be the whole mix, the whole cake mix, and that was good enough. And then you could just sprinkle like SEO strategy on top. It's actually the complete opposite now. You know, it's the last thing you put on the cupcake. I would even go so far as to say it's now the sprinkles and not even the icing. Right. So the reason I bring that up is because I think a lot of the frustration and the comparison and the overwhelm comes from these social media platforms that are not life-giving in any kind of way, when we should be looking into the long-form strategy, as this is one of them, right? So yeah, so talk to us a little bit about, you know, how much time does Pinterest actually take? And then of course, I guess the reality of for pins to start working, because I do know that, again, it's the long game. So. Yes. You know, yes. That's fun.
Any search engine is going to take time, right? Your blogs, even YouTube, everything takes time if they're really valuable. And I always say that you want to put energy into the thing that's going to give you the biggest return on your time investment, especially if you're a working mom, right? I always find that with regards to Pinterest, you do need to know that there's a learning curve. You do need to know that there's a whole sort of like research and things that you need to do to make sure you set up correctly. And then I work with clients to make sure that they work this sort of workflow of Pinterest into their already performing marketing standards. So for instance, if you do a blog each week or each session, like whatever you do in terms of your photography business, you want to take that content and you want to put it on Pinterest. You can take little bits of that blog post and make different social media posts for it on whatever social media platforms you are. But I always say that you want to connect working on your blog with Pinterest, because then it's all in the process. For instance, if you write your blog, if you, you know, go through and do that creative process and write the blog, and then the next day, maybe you're going to edit the blog. And let's say you have a day where you make the graphics, choose the photos maybe that are going to go on there, but also that graphic header. At the time that you're doing those graphics is when you should make your pins. And you and I talked about this a little bit beforehand, having templates that you can easily put in new gorgeous photos, as well as the text overlay and your website and a call to action on every pin. As you start to do this, most of my clients in my group coaching only spend about an hour a week on Pinterest and they're finding success. So,
yes, I love it. That's the thing though. Yes, there's always a learning curve. It's always going to be a little bit more of your time, your effort, and your energy up front, but the amount of time that it's going to save you at the end and on the back end is going to be phenomenal. And I know that we are in this era of wanting to be on social media less. I think people are really missing the way it used to be. I am like, send me back to, I'm a baby compared to you coming out here telling me that you're a grandma and stuff, but like, yeah. Take me back to the 90s when things just seemed a little more simple and we didn't have phones in our face all the time and, you know, and all those things. So I feel like the heart of the family, people are really chasing after that again, and simplicity, yes, and minimalism. And so I want photographers to know that just because we take pictures for people and a lot of people use them on social media, we don't have to sell out to social media. And I want to teach them to do time-saving things so that they're not wasting all their time creating content that's not even going to be seen by 6% of their, you know what I mean? By 6% of their audience. So, okay. So we've got them on board. They're like, yes, okay, I hear you. But what does that look like? So kind of walk us through, what are the tips or the ways or the strategies that you want to share with us about how to use Pinterest as a photographer?
Sure. And these tips are specific for photographers. So know that when you listen to education on Pinterest, it most of the time is not going to be on local based businesses. So I just want you to have that caveat when you're hearing something else. Also, when you listen to Pinterest education elsewhere, if it's older than 6 months, it may not be applicable. So don't just take what someone says in a video from 2 years ago and try to just replicate that, because that may not work for your business. So tip number one is where everyone should always start, and that's keywords. Even if you photograph all over the world and clients pay you to go travel with them and photograph, and or you want to be a travel photographer for whatever reason, you always still need to focus on those location-specific keywords. So I'm in San Jose, California. I use San Jose. I use Silicon Valley. I use the San Francisco Bay Area. I use Bay Area. And I use Northern California. I'm using all of the areas in my location. So that could be cities, towns, counties, whatever it is, because if you consider this, when someone's looking for a photographer and they're typing into that browser bar on Pinterest, or you're looking for something for a local-based business, don't you say your city name and then what you're looking for? everyone else is going to be doing that for photography. So make sure that you're giving them by choosing those keywords to go on your graphic over your beautiful image. We'll talk about that in a second. But you want to use those location specific keywords because it is an easy sell if they love your work and they're in your same city or town or area. If they're in Florida and I'm in California, they know they're going to have to pay a travel fee and they're considering that in their budget. So it is much harder to do that. Most of the travel photography I've done is because of referrals. So when you have a focus on Pinterest, keep to those location specific keywords. And when you're looking for keywords on Pinterest, type in what you think keywords should be for your business. So like San Jose branding photographer, LA portrait photographer, like think of all the names that you're going to look for and write down all of those keywords on a spreadsheet so that when you're creating content, all you have to do is look at this sheet to know the keywords to use and you don't have to be super creative in the moment. You want to use these keywords on the text overlay over the picture. You want to use it in the title. You want to use it in the description and you want to use a different text overlay from the title of the pin. So let me give you an example. Fall family portraits in San Jose could be the text overlay. And in the title, you're going to say San Jose family photography in the fall, right? So you can use photos, photography, photographer with all the different city names and then describe what these photos are of, especially if it's fall or summer, like whatever it is when you look at that photo, you could also do something like, let's say all the family wore red or something like that. You could say family looks gorgeous in family portraits that look gorgeous in San Jose wearing red or whatever. Like just think of the keywords as descriptors for what they're gonna find. Those are keywords. So should I move on to the second one?
Yeah. So I was just gonna chime in two cool things about keywords because I know, like you said earlier, that Pinterest is search engine, right? It's a search engine. Here's the cool thing. Instagram and Facebook are social media platforms. They are showing you what they think you're going to be interested based on posts that you've scrolled through, clicked on, looked at. Pinterest is only gonna show you what you typed in. And then on your home feed, and it is like, this is my favorite thing. If I ever lack, you know, creativity or inspiration, I go to my home feed on Pinterest and it's like, they're my brain. They know me, they know what I want. And they show me very similar things, right? So with the search engine using keywords, one of the things is, even though you're over on Pinterest, I have seen this for myself. If I go over to Google and I'm typing in exactly what you're saying, you know, San Jose branding photographer, Google, one of the first things I see is a Pinterest link to the people who are using that keyword. So I love it. And so this is probably the most important one we're talking about. The only other question that I wanted to clarify, just thinking about my listener going back to the basics, is when we're writing, so they're like, I got this. I can do this up until we hit the description and I'm supposed to type something in. Are we writing it to the person that is going to click on the pin to understand what it's about? Or are we writing it so Google understands what the picture is, right? Does that make sense? Like, how are we writing a description here, if you don't mind digging into that?
I'm going to throw you for a little bit of loop, but it is both, right?
Okay.
We want keywords that they're going to find that. So let's take that family photos in San Jose in fall. In the description, I'm writing a paragraph that is readable by a human, but I'm going to use keywords within the paragraph, not just keyword, comma, keyword, comma, keyword. Those never work. And do not use hashtags anymore, by the way. They're old and they could actually potentially even harm your reach. So you would say something like, I was so excited that I get to work with this family. They chose red and blue for their family outfits. Notice that they coordinated and they weren't matchy-matchy like from back in the 80s. This San Jose shoot was shot at XYZ Park in XYZ City. And then I'll say definitely click so that you can see all these fun photos. And if you're looking for a photographer in San Jose, definitely reach out.
That was perfect. That made complete sense. And yes, hashtags, I feel like across the board, every platform, it's a thing of the past. They're all dead. Yep. They're all dead. Yep. So that's really good information. I know a lot of my old pins have hashtags. So, and this might be something tell me what to do. What if
I always say this, everyone says, so should I delete my old pins? I would rather you take the time that you're going to spend finding these pins and deleting them, because oftentimes pins can't be edited. Sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. It's just out there. So don't worry about it. Whatever's done, consider it done and just work moving forward. Oftentimes people want to go, like for me, right? That picture that's 6 years old that like embarrasses me, but people are booking me and I'm so much better. They're going to be super happy, right? I leave it alone. The other thing to note is that when you are creating these pins with links that are going somewhere, one of the things that could really, really harm your account is if that page is no longer there. Let's say you didn't like the blog, so you deleted it. You're going to have pins that are going nowhere. Consider a pinner. Seeing a photo and going, oh my God, I totally want to find out more about that. And they click on it and it goes to an error, a 404 page, right? They're going to immediately go back to Pinterest, and Pinterest marks that in their little algorithm head and says, this person isn't valuable. I'm not going to send any more search reach to that person. So if you have broken links or you changed a link after you published it for whatever reason, go back and delete those or update them if you can, because those could really harm your account. I had a client who changed websites, like the name of the website, and the person that did that account for her did not do all of the very important forwarders to forward from one blog from the old name to the new blog and the new name. That's huge. And that when people are having trouble and not getting the reach that they once had, oftentimes it's because of that.
Yep, that makes complete sense. Okay, that is amazing to know. So I think that's perfect. That covers us there for all those keywords. So what next? What do we get to focus on next?
Optimizing your Pinterest profile and boards. Use everything on the profile to tell Pinterest who you are, not just the people. So for instance, there's a cover photo on your page. You really want a photo of you photographing someone. It tells people in 2.5 seconds who you are and what you're doing, right? And they know instantly that you're a photographer because you're holding a camera and you're photographing someone. That is the best photo that you can use. Oftentimes, I find this with wedding photographers, they want this gorgeous panorama scene because it's a gorgeous image. And they know probably that it's wedding, but they don't know that you're a photographer necessarily, right? You want that 2.5 second notice. The other thing is that you want to use what you do, like who you are, in your name, not the name of the URL link, but the name that's right below that picture. So I have San Jose branding photographer Jen, and then I put my name Jen, so that because people do buy from people. So make sure that you have that in there, like search actual very specific keywords in that name title. And then the other thing that I find is a lot of people will say things in their description like, and no offense, if this is you, don't worry about it. I'm just going to help you to fix it. Love God, love coffee and my babies and photographing people. Like, they don't care. People don't care. And you want Pinterest to share your information. So instead, you write something like, I work with fun, adventurous, and playful couples to photograph and document their weddings so their grandbabies can view that album in the future, right? That says way more about me as a wedding photographer than saying what I love, right? Always consider who cares about you, what's in it for them, what transformation are you providing, or what type of people do you love to photograph? This is the single best way to actually use Pinterest to gain clients.
I love that you said that, because I'm like, I feel like I've said all these words before.
Oh, so have I. It's all my mistakes.
Yes, I have said, well, and written specifically, it's giving that strategy, because that same strategy of utilizing the information section of a Pinterest profile is the exact same as your Instagram, your Facebook, your website. Again, it's never about you. Yes, we want you to infuse yourself, your brand, your values, all those things. But at the moment you're getting someone new that is coming across your profile and your pins and things like that, they want to know like what is in it for them. Because if not, then they're just going to keep going. Like you're at that point, you're just an inspiration account. That's the difference between, I think, gaining yes. clients and just being an inspo account, is the more creative you can be and specific and speaking to them, the better results that you're going to have. So I love that.
And then one caveat too, a lot of people, when they're creating boards for their Pinterest account, they use cutesy names like Good Eats or something like that, right? You want to be super specific. First of all, you should have four boards for sure. One is your business name, just your business name. And the description is, again, very similar to your profile, right? You want to have a free resources board. So if you're a branding photographer, free branding photography resources, or even free branding resources, a wedding photographer, free wedding resources, etc. Those are going to be the most clicked boards. On your business board and your free board, you're putting all of your blogs, any tips and advice, all of those things, right? And then the other two boards, you want to make sure that whatever your main thing is. So if I'm a branding photographer, I can say branding photographs that convert or something. And then the next one could be branding photography tips, right? It could have the exact same content on both boards, but you're being able to add to multiple boards. So a lot of people will take a pin and put it on one board, or they'll take a pin and pin it to like 10 boards. Long gone are those days. You don't want to pin the exact same pin to more than a couple boards, because then it appears to be spammy and your reach can be throttled back because of that.
Wow. So many helpful tips. I know the boards can definitely trip people up. I know the majority of them are naming them cutesy things for sure. Yes. And not utilizing, again, like your board names, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but your board titles, right? What you're calling your boards yeah. are also working for SEO. It's what people, it either has to entice them to click, or it has to show up with SEO in search results for what people are looking for. Is that correct?
It is 100% correct. And it's unbelievable to realize, but Pinterest can read the text that's over the image on your pin graphic. They can read that. So using keywords, different keywords, not the exact same keyword in all of those places, but different keywords on the text overlay. Oh, and by the way, what you name the pin graphic is also searchable. So make sure you're utilizing that, and it's not just FAV1456 as the image, right? You want to say, you know, family portraits in fall for San Jose or whatever, like name that pin graphic also. The titles, the descriptions, everything, your whole Pinterest account, the algorithm of Pinterest is reviewing your entire account all the time. So the more they see similar things taking place, which is the core of what you do, the more you're going to get reach and basically people looking at your stuff.
I love that. Okay. Another question that I have about naming your pin graphics. So I think this is where people get really confused. I do know that the majority of people are, or photographers, I should say, are renaming their images from the letters and numbers combo to at least saying, you know, Johnson family number one, right? So yeah. When you're talking about using keywords to name these images, if they're wanting to use 20 images from a gallery, do they all need to have different names? Like at some point, are we getting stuck on how
yes,
to use-
minutia. Yes, yes. So here's my solution. So whenever, at least for me, I'm assuming for most photographers, but when we have these big, huge files, we are downloading them into a, you know, online size, right? Which is typically 1200 pixels on the widest side, whether that's top or sideways, right? That's a social media size photo. And most of us are doing that for our blogs, right? So same thing, you can name your photos like whatever you want, but even for my website, instead of naming them, what I always do, like branding, the person's name, the place it was, and the city and the state. That's my naming convention because I want to make sure it's easy to find when I'm looking for it. But when I download it for social media size to share on social media or Pinterest or my blog, I'm renaming them to what it is. So branding photography for a physical therapist, San Jose, California. And if it's a studio name, if I'm working in a studio, I'll also put the studio name. And then I just do 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera. You don't have to rename all of them, with one caveat. If you have, if there's two different ways to look at a blog or the photos that you're going to be sharing on Pinterest, and there's multiple keywords that you can creatively come up with instantly, then name them a little bit different for every 3 or 4, if that makes sense. But only if it's quick.
Yes. Okay, that makes so much more sense and makes it a lot easier. I feel like the people who struggle the most with this, like myself, would be the family photographers, because we use a lot of the same locations over and over. And then the only thing changing would be a family name. But even then, it's still it's still differentiating.
You can use the color of what they're wearing. So I would say, so on half of the photos, maybe I'll say family photos, red and green clothing at so-and-so park. And then the other half of the photos, I'll say family portrait photography, right? Because they're going to be, most people will search on Pinterest for photos, not photography. That's very sort of our industry type words, but do both. And if you describe their clothing or what, like if it's in winter or fall, like those are the words that you want to use, because a lot of people, when they're scheduling their family portraits, they're looking fall family portraits in San Jose, or San Jose fall portraits, or photos, family photos, right? So think of what they would be looking for to find this image and use those descriptions.
So helpful. Yes. Thank you for those examples. It even popped up more ideas in my head, especially when we as photographers like to go get inspiration of other photographers as well. So, okay. This, I know you have so much more, but I also know that my listeners are easily overwhelmed. And what we want to do is inspire them to take action. And Perfect. So we covered a great starting point for these photographers. Now, the only thing that I would love to kind of have you tell us as far as a strategy goes is, how often are you wanting photographers to, you know, right now they've never done it, or they might have dabbled but not taken it seriously. So from this point forward, can you give them maybe just a simple framework strategy for them to implement based on what you've given us today?
Yes. So what I always say is, you always want to have at least one pin each day going out. You can utilize Pinterest's free scheduler. You can schedule up to, I think it's 30 pins and up to 2 weeks out. So each week you can just be adding more pins and you're scheduling them on each day. So if you do a shoot and you have a blog post, you do 5 or 7 photos, right? With text overlay, the whole thing. You're going to put one on each different day. Going to the most appropriate boards, probably not the same board. And what I always say is, if you are getting into it and you're doing well, using something like a Tailwind is great, because you can spend your hour each week just loading stuff into, and they make pins for you too. So you don't even have to use Canva. It's super easy. But you're loading the pins on there and they're going out on a complete on a schedule. But I would say one pin a day. Some people want to do 3 pins a week, and that doesn't always work if you want to grow, truly.
I love it. Okay. So for the next month, the time you're listening to this, we want you to get 30 pins created. It can be very simple, you guys. Get your 30 pins. You're taking your images, you're adding overlay text, that are keywords that you're trying to rank for, that you're trying to be found for, as she has suggested. And you are going, just go use Pinterest's free schedule first, because we don't need, you know what I mean?
Nope, if you've got exactly Tailwind, go correct. Use it.
But go to Pinterest, use their free scheduler, get 2 weeks scheduled out, meaning, you know, you're going to have your 14 images. Yep, that's it. Yep. Per day into your boards, and then keep showing up and show yourself, I can be consistent with this. It's amazing. And if you want to take those images, I would start with one gallery, one blog, like take your gallery, blog your latest gallery, your favorite, whatever, maybe even favorite of 2022. I don't care. Go get a favorite gallery, blog it, and then come back and pull those images, create these pins, and follow this strategy. Do this and show yourself that you can be consistent, because it's only going up from here. And then you can add on and add on and add on. So,
and I always find that photographers tend to quit right when the momentum is starting. They're like, ah, nothing's happened. And so I always tell people, give yourself 3 to 6 months of being consistent, one pin a day, which feels like a lot now, but when you're in the swing of it and you're working on this only once a week, adding pins to that schedule in Pinterest, it becomes sort of part of your workflow. And once you hit that 3 to 6 months, you will start to see some results.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This was absolutely incredible. Definitely a workshop style training, which are some of my favorite. So I have no doubt this will be a very highly downloaded episode. But before we go, how can people connect with you, learn more about Pinterest and more about your business?
So my Instagram name is Jen Vasquez Media, and there's 2 Z's in the last name. And come send me a DM. Tell me that you heard about me. I offer a ton of free education in my Facebook group and on YouTube. So if you want to go find me there, you can find me there and comment or send me a message.
Thank you so much, Jen. Like I said, pure gold. And I know people are racing over to learn more about Pinterest from you. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. Now go take the action, and I'll see you on the next episode. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Book More Clients Photography Podcast. If you're loving the content, can you take just 2 minutes and do me the biggest favor? Share your love for the show by leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, or take a screenshot and share the show to your social media. I'm on a mission to transform our photography industry, and the best way to reach others is to share the show. I'll catch you on the next episode.